Hey everyone, we're going to spend a bit of time now looking at God's Word from Genesis 37. We're continuing to work our way through the book of Genesis, and we're following God's story of blessing His people. And we're looking at one man at the moment, Jacob, and his whole family. Now, God has made enormous promises to Jacob. God has promised to bless him. God has promised to make him, one man, into a great nation. Heaps and heaps of people. Promised him he's going to have many, many children. And he's going to have his own country to live in. And for his whole family and people to live in. And so God has made all these blessings to Jacob. Now, imagine for a moment that this piece of paper is Jacob. That's Jacob. And these are some of God's promises. Okay? So God has made all these promises. These are all God's promises. God's promise of blessings. He's going to give him so much junk food, he's never going to run out. God, this is Jacob. Now, can Jacob actually take, can Jacob hold all of God's promises and blessings? It's not really going to work, is it? He's kind of weak and flimsy. Well, what God does is God gives Jacob 12 sons. And so he's got a whole bunch of sons. The first son is Reuben. And the second son is Simeon. Then he has another son called Levi. And God keeps giving him sons. And you'll remember how many he ends up with. He ends up with 12. Because after Simeon and Levi comes Judah. And then there's Dan. And then there's Naphtali is another one of the sons. Then comes Gad. That's a name that's coming back, I think. I can feel it in my bones. A lot of young girls are going to be called Gad, I think. Asher and Issachar, then Zebulun, and then his number 11 son was called Joseph. Okay, so Joseph, and we're going to be hearing about him. He's one of Jacob's sons. And then Jacob's last son was called Benjamin. Okay, so now Jacob, one man, has turned into 12 sons. Now, how are they going to go at holding all of God's promises and all of God's blessing? It's not going to work. But if I take this, and so God is at work, what we're looking at in Genesis is that God is at work in his people, and he's taking people who are super weak and who make mistakes and who are sinful and don't trust him enough, and he's taking them and he's changing them into his people. So if I get that and I stick it together, okay, so there's one, and we say, right, okay, there's Reuben, okay, plonk him there. Now, you could sit and watch me 12 things for a little while, but here's some I prepared earlier. Okay, so here we go. Sorry that they're a little small, but basically, Jacob ends up with his 12 sons, okay? God has given him 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. And so God says, I'm going to put my blessings on you. I'm going to give all of my blessings to you. In fact, everything I can possibly give, I'm going to give to you. And he just keeps piling on top of this man who's a piece of paper, this man who is flimsy and weak, and his 12 sons who are sinful. On them, God pours all of his eternal blessings. And that's what we're seeing in Genesis, that God is taking these weak people who couldn't do it on their own, and God is able, through Israel, through the 12 tribes, to bring his amazing blessings. And it's part of what we're looking at in Genesis. So I'll put that down there for the moment. And so as we're looking at Joseph's story, we're looking at the story of one of the 12 sons as God is working out to bring his blessings on everyone. What is interesting in our story today, though, isn't it, as we look at these 12 sons, is how horrible they are to each other. These 12 sons who God says, I'm going to bless you and give you everything I've got, actually, they're really horrible. And so Jacob's family is torn apart. Jacob's family is separated because of their hatred, because of their jealousy, because of their violence and lying, and we wonder, well, how is God at work in this situation? How is God going to bring his blessing when this is what his people are like? So let's check out the story. It'd be great if you had Genesis 37 open in front of you, followed it along together. It'd be great if you talked as a family afterwards about what you learned from Genesis 37, because we'll look at a few different things, but there's lots in it. We're learning about Joseph, who is Jacob's second youngest son. And now he's 17 years old. The first thing we learn about Joseph is that he told on his brothers when some of them had done the wrong thing. They were out in the field, and then he came home and told his dad they'd done the wrong thing. Now, the brothers would have hated that, wouldn't they? They wouldn't have liked Joseph telling their dad. They would have hated him dobbing on them. But remember, they did do the wrong thing, and they got in trouble for it, but they wouldn't have liked Joseph. But you know what? It's not just that. We also find out that it turns out Joseph, out of the 12 sons, Joseph is loved more than all of the other sons, verse 3. Now, the brothers definitely wouldn't have liked that, would they? Knowing that their dad loved their brother more than they loved them, and they could see that their dad loved Joseph more than he loved them, because Jacob gave Joseph a very special gift that he didn't give to any of his sons. Jacob made a robe, a coat, a spectacular, amazing, fancy, ornate, very expensive coat that only Joseph got. A coat that was really colorful and really long and amazing. What that means is every time Joseph wore this coat, it says to the brothers, "My dad loves me more than he loves you. Our dad loves me more than he loves you." Now, I don't have 12 sons and one daughter. I have 3 sons and one daughter. But imagine if I gave one of my sons lots more presents and lots more junk food, which is my job in life. But imagine if I gave them lots more love and fun and attention and time. And how horrible would that be? Joseph is loved more. And he's given more. But you know what? He's also hated more. Look at verse 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak peaceably to him. Hated him. I can't stand speaking to Joseph. He is loved by his father, but hated by his brothers. It starts to get worse when Joseph has these dreams. Verse 5 tells us he has a dream that he then tells his brothers, and he dreams that he and his brothers were all out in the field tying up this wheat, and he says, "My wheat stood up straight, and all of your wheat gathered around mine and bowed down." And the brothers hated that because they knew that that dream meant that Joseph was going to be there and they would all come and bow down before him. Joseph has another dream and he decides to tell his brothers this dream. And he says, "Actually, this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down before me." And the brothers are furious. And so they tell their dad, and Joseph has told his dad the dream as well. And so Jacob is like, "What? You're having a dream that even I am going to bow down to my own son?" And so verse 8 tells us they hated him even more. Verse 11 tells us they hate him and they are jealous of him. Jacob loves him. The brothers hate him. That's not how family's meant to be, is it? We're not meant to have favorites, that I love some and I don't love others just because I feel like it. We're not meant to be jealous of each other. It's not meant to be that when something good happens to one of our brothers or sisters, we hate it. When they win in a game or when they do well in school, and then we're really angry because I think, why do they do well and why am I not doing well? We're in the family. We love each other. We should be happy when good things happen to them. And so this family is falling apart. And one day, Jacob tells Joseph to go visit his brothers who are out in the field looking after the sheep. And we might be wondering, if the brothers are out in the field looking after the sheep, why isn't Joseph? What's Joseph doing? Brushing his coat or something, who knows what. But anyway, his dad says, "Go visit your brothers." And Joseph says, "I'm ready." And off he goes. So he's either very confident or very naive, Joseph. He tells everyone his dreams and, yep, I'll go see him. You know what happens? Verse 18 tells us that he finds his brothers. They see him in the distance. They see Joseph coming. And you know what the brothers say to each other? Let's kill him. Let's kill him and get rid of him. And we'll say to our dad, a wild animal ate him. How horrible is that? They're so jealous. They're so angry. They're so filled with hate. They decide to kill their brother. But Reuben, the eldest brother, says, no, that would be the wrong thing to do. We shouldn't kill our brother. What we should do is bash him up and throw him in a pit in the ground. That's what we should do with it. Is that what you should do to your brother? No. But Reuben's thinking, that's not as bad. And Reuben has a plan. He's thinking, actually, if we just throw Joseph in this pit in the ground, then I can come back later and get him out and he'll be saved. So Reuben says, that's what we should do. And he goes away. The other brothers are like, okay, let's throw him in the ground. You know what they do? When Joseph is in this hole with no water and nothing, they have a meal. How mean is that? They've just mistreated their brother and they think, cool, let's sit down and eat. And then along comes some traitors and Judah, one of Joseph's brothers, says, you know what? We could make some money out of this situation. He said, why don't we sell our brother to these slave traders and then we'll get rid of him. And that's what they do. They sell their brother and hand him over for 20 pieces of silver. They don't like Joseph and they don't like his coat. What they do is they sell Joseph and keep the coat. It's horrible what they do. And so they go back to their dad. They kill an animal and put the animal's blood on the coat to try and cover up their own sin. And they take the coat back to their dad and say, Dad, is this Joseph's coat? And Jacob says, yep, that's my son's coat. And Jacob is devastated and he tears his own clothes and he covers himself in ash and in his dirty clothes just to say how sad he is. They get rid of Joseph and it makes their father really sad. What is going on in this story? Well, let's imagine that this piece of paper is Joseph, okay? So this is Joseph in his one-coloured paper, okay? You know what's interesting is that the word for multicoloured, you know, Joseph and his amazing technicoloured, multicoloured, many-coloured coat, it's probably better translated long-sleeved. But it's not that exciting, isn't it? I mean, it's an ornate, very fancy, it's a royal robe, but it's long-sleeved. But just, you can't make a musical out of that one. Give me my long-sleeved coat. Anyway, so imagine this is Joseph. And a lot of things have happened to Joseph. He's loved by his dad. Okay, his dad really loves him. And so good things happen. But and then he's given an amazing coat by his dad, this amazing multicolored, ornate, long-sleeved coat. So lots of good things are happening to Joseph. But then, you know, he's having these dreams as well. And so he's having these amazing dreams. But then his brothers hate him. And so his life is full of all this stuff. His brothers hate him and then they sell him into slavery. And so there is Joseph. So imagine this is Joseph. And basically his life has just fallen apart, hasn't it? All these horrible things that his brothers have done to him. They sell him. They get rid of him. His life has fallen apart. His life is ruined. He's separated from his family. He's separated from his dad. His life is in pieces. And you're just like, what is God doing? How is God in control of this situation? Well, it turns out God does actually have a plan. And out of all the pieces, God is able to bring about a great plan. So I'll just plonk that up there. So God is working, even in this horrible situation, to do something. Joseph is sold, and notice he gets sold to the Midianites, the Ishmaelites, and then they sell him again. So Joseph is sold twice, and he ends up in a place called Egypt, which it turns out is exactly where God wants him to be. And so God is at work in this situation, bringing about something amazing. And we'll see if we can see it very shortly. So this is Joseph's life. It's all messed up and miserable and all over the place. But it turns out God is doing his thing. Hopefully you can start seeing what's happening very soon. And it's good to know that when our life is messed up and all over the place, God is at work. But this story, God tells us in the Bible, is all about his plan in the messed up, horrible situation of the brothers hating him. God is at work through Joseph to bring, it says life, in case you're thinking, God brings weird pink pieces of paper that mean nothing on the back wall, actually, in the messiness of everything. God is actually bringing life in this situation. As we keep reading through Genesis, we're going to see God is at work and he's actually saving people and he's loving people and he's actually, through Joseph's suffering, is going to bring life even to the people who had done this horrible thing to him. And it's because Genesis 37 is pointing, Joseph's suffering and story is pointing not just to the life of saving Jacob and his sons, which is going to happen in a few chapters' time, but it's pointing to something much bigger. That Joseph's messed up, horrible suffering is pointing to God's big plan to bring Jesus to suffer on the cross for us. And so even in the horrible situation, do you know what? Because Jesus came, let me whack this up. Jesus came to his own people, didn't he? And how do his own people treat him? That's right, it's the cross. God sends Jesus. And you know what? He's hated by his fellow Jews. They hate him when he says he's the one that they need to trust and follow and bow down to. And they hate him. They hate him when he says he is loved by his Father, God. They are jealous and they grab him and they sell him for 30 pieces of silver. And they take away his clothes. And they're not just beating him up. They put him up on the cross to die. But even in all this messy, horrible situation, God's plan was always to save us by the cross and to bring life that doesn't just last for a while, but life that lasts forever. Because God is always in control. So why don't we pray about that now? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the way you are at work, even in the messy, sinful, broken things of life, to bring your plan and purpose to bless your people. Thank you so much that Jesus came and that he suffered and he was rejected, but that he went through all of that and he died so that we could be saved forever. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for giving us heaven and eternal life. Please help us to trust in you no matter what happens. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.